from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is the Travis Thomas Show on WEEI.
No, my next guest is nodding his head right now. Let's bring him in. He's family to the Travis Thomas Experience. Former NBAer Walt Williams joins the program. He is family to the Travis Thomas Experience, drafted in 1992, seventh overall by the Kings. He played for the Kings, the Heat, Raptors, Blazers, Rockets, and them damn Mavericks. You know, Walt, I never asked you this, but out of all the teams you played for, where did you have the most fun, you know, both on the court and off the court with the city and all that? Which one of those teams did you have the most fun at?
Well, I mean, I had fun at every city I played in, so it's just hard to distinguish. But I would say Sacramento Kings, man, because that's where I went. That's when I went from being poor to rich.
So that's naturally going to turn the fun levels up.
Absolutely.
Do you still remember? I mentioned, you know, you were drafted in the 92 draft, seventh overall by those Kings. Do you still, to this day, Walt, do you remember the six players taken before you? You know how they always say, like, you know, these guys will use that as fuel and put a chip on their shoulder to remember the guys taken before you in the draft. Do you remember that, or did you never pay attention to that?
I do.
You didn't care.
Oh no, I do. I did remember that. I do remember those guys because you know, we played. I would watch them. I would pay attention to what they were doing to make sure, you know, I was comparable or better. So you know, I always watched those guys. It was so competitive. It was a great group of guys that. In that class. And so, yeah, absolutely. You definitely pay attention to that for sure.
Former NBAer Walt Williams joining us here on the Travis Thomas Experience. Here are the players: Shaquille O'Neal, Alonzo Mourning, Christian Laettner, Jimmy Jackson, LaPhonso Ellis, and Tom Googly. Oh, Walt, you had a chance. So the Bullets could have drafted you at six. I didn't even realize that.
They blew it, Travis. They blew it, man.
Oh my God. Oh my God. All right. So for backstory, you know, Walt Williams is from Maryland, played at University of Maryland. The Washington Bullets, the year you were drafted, picked at six and had a chance to take you. And they took Tom Gugliotta out of NC State, who turned out to be an okay NBA player. No shade to him. But I mean, take me back. Now I got to know that. What did you get? Did you ever get a straight answer of what the hell happened there? What's going on there, Walt?
Well you know, my man Wes Unsell, he gave me a call. He talked to me. He just told me that, you know, back in those days, I was a young boy, Travis, and you know, we hanging out and doing all types of things, man. So, you know. He didn't like the group of guys that I was, the group of friends that I, you know, would be in the club with and, you know, that type of stuff, man. So they thought that because if I had got drafted being at home, they didn't know how that would work out, you know. But I know for myself, I think it would have worked out fantastic. I know that the fan support, The seats, fans in the seats, that'll been to a whole nother level as compared to Tom Gugliotta. So, I mean, you know, when I think about those times, I think they made a huge mistake.
No, they definitely made a big mistake. And listen, I didn't know you as a young bull, but I tell you what, I've got to know you over the years. You know, we're tight. I've got to know you over the years. You're just fantastic. And you've always been so great to me in my career and so gracious. And I do believe it would have worked out just fine because, you know, you always – look, you were a star at University of Maryland anyway. So it's not like you didn't know how to balance basketball and still being cool with your boys.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
You'd have been just fine. Yeah. Now, I know the story, but the folks here in this market don't know, you know – we never got a chance to see Len Bias play in a Celtics jersey, but you knew him closely.
Yeah.
Can you share with my audience listening your relationship with him all the way from the beginning until his tragic passing, Walt?
Well, yeah, I played against, he had a younger brother, and his younger brother is my age. So we played against each other in high school. So we had a lot of battles. Ironically enough, where guys came from and things like that, they didn't publicize that as much. So I had no idea when Len Bias was at Maryland. I didn't even know he was from this area, you know, where he was from until, you know, I realized I was playing against his brother. And so he inspired me a lot. You know, when we would play pickup games outside on the blacktop, you know, before the games would start, we would yell out who we were going to pretend to be that day. And, man, it was a mad scary to get Len Bias' name out of your mouth, you know, because everybody wanted to pretend to be him. And so when it came time for me to make my decision and where I was going to go to college, it was a no-brainer for me. I just could reflect on the impact that Len Bias had on a community, and I wanted kids to pretend like they were me on the basketball court. So I thought that the way that I can accomplish those things like that was to go to the University of Maryland. So a huge reason why I went there was because of Len Bias, and of course, my family. You know, and I wanted to play in front of my mom and my sister, you know, and my father. I wanted to play in front of them and my friends. And so those were huge reasons why I chose Maryland. And me and Tony Massenberg, we wrote a book called Lessons from Lenny, just because we just thought it was just so important that people understood the impact that he had on our community, not just the circumstances surrounding his tragic death, but the impact that he had. I mean, you look at the University of Maryland, after he passed away, the undressing of the university uncovered that, you know, that we needed to add more support to the academics for the student athletes so that they can graduate at a higher rate. And if you look at the graduation right now at the University of Maryland, it just has skyrocketed since. You know, so things like that, we wanted to make a point of just understanding his impact, the positive impact that he had on all of us, instead of just the tragic situation surrounding his death.
No doubt. It's, to me, one of the biggest what ifs in sports is, like, what if Len Bias ended up playing for the Celtics? I mean, look, Walt, you knew him well. What do you think? What do you think would have happened if he hadn't passed and you know, was drafted here and ended up suiting up for the Celtics?
I know that Celtics-Lakers rivalry would have been a different – it probably would have had a different connotation to it, you know. I know that Larry Bird even said that, hey, he would have added more years to his career being able to play with Len Bias, because, you know, just wouldn't – being able to relax a little bit more while, you know, Len just dominating and take over. So, you know, even the great players knew – what was coming their way and the type of talent that this dude had. I mean, at 6'8", 6'9", could jump out of the gym. Just the thing that attracted me to him the most is one time my dad took me to a Terp game, And I was a Georgetown Hoyer fan at the time. They were playing North Carolina, so he's a big Tar Heel fan. So he thought he was taking me to see the Tar Heels play. But when I this one play, Len Bias went up to shoot a jumper, and it was just the prettiest thing I had ever seen. And from that point, I just was attracted to that guy's game, and how effortless his game was, and it's just a beautiful thing, man. And I was just drawn to it, and ever since then, it just became a Terps thing.
No doubt. Now, if you're listening and you're of a certain age and you remember the old days of the Celtics and around that Len Bias era of when he got drafted, his tragic passing, and you want to talk that with me, you're always welcome here on the Travis Thomas Experience. It was before my time, but it doesn't mean we can't talk about it. 617-779-7937. Call me. Let's do it. We're talking with former NBAer right now, Walt Williams. I want to ask you about the current Celtics because, listen, last night, I mean, it was beatdown city, Walt. I said to start the show, it almost looked like a game to me where maybe these guys believed in their hype. I mean, all week long, all series long, we've been pumping them up, putting the numbers out there, the stats out there. When you look at this team all time to some of these great all-time teams, they stack up statistically, even though it doesn't feel like an all-time great team when we watch them. Statistically, they do stack up. So all week long, we're trying to talk about how this is some great team, and then they just go out there and get mollywopped. I wonder if they bought into their own hype and maybe they needed to be humbled a little bit. Do you see it that way, or do you see it as these games happen in a series where you just have one clunker? Do you think they'll regroup? Do you think we have a series now? Give me your thoughts on last night's beatdown and just kind of tell me, forecast the rest of the series for me, Walt.
Well, you go up 3-0. It's just tough to maintain your focus and a sense of urgency, especially when you're going against a team that understands that if we lose this game, it's over. And that sense of urgency is a little bit different than the normal circumstances. And so when you are a veteran team, you've been there before, sometimes you can raise to that level of play. But most times, I expected the Celtics to lose this game. What was a little added extra thing is that you maybe thought that they would have the necessary sense of urgency out there because they were trying to make history. But, at the end of the day, I think that the Boston Celtics is the better team. They've been showing it, especially on the defensive end. And we misinterpret, what the Boston Celtics have been doing this year. Especially in the playoffs, because missing a guy like Porzingis, that's a huge void. I mean, he's especially on the defensive end, he impacts the game so much. People talk about when he came back the 20 points or whatever, but that pales in comparison to what he does on the defensive end. How he allows you to play as a team, but then individually what he can do in terms of blocking shots and altering shots. And so I think when you don't have him out on the court, the Boston Celtics are a different team. And the way they've played, the record that they've had right now throughout this playoffs, they could have set records here. And they haven't even played well, And so even in the wins that they've had, they haven't played well. And so you think that it's this young team, they have a lot of leeway and they're going to get better. You certainly believe that they're going to play better in the playoffs than they have this year. It's just a great spectacle to see what this team will look like, especially when you get a healthy Milwaukee, a healthy Philadelphia team, and everybody gets healthy. And then you go back at it next year. And so that's going to be something to see. But in terms of this year, I think that Boston is the better team. I think they will win this series. I think they win in the next game. If they don't win it in five, I think they win it in six. I think that when you bring Porzingis back, that's going to be the difference maker. Whatever game he comes in and he plays in, the game is over in that game, in my opinion. I think they can win without him, though, just one game. I think that they can do that because of what they can do in the defensive end.
Big fan of Porzingis, Walt. All right. Listen, I like him, too. I'm a big I mean, naturally, like everyone else, I like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And now the media outside of this town, you know, they try to pit those guys against each other. Whose team is it? And who's the alpha? And yeah, all that nonsense. I'm sure you like both players. Which one do you like more, though? Who's your guy? Are you a Tatum guy or a Jaylen Brown guy?
So, to me, I think that Jaylen Brown is underrated. He certainly should have been on one of those all-NBA teams. I think Jason Tatum is a fantastic player. I think that he's the guy who can bring it more consistently on the offensive end, as you saw throughout the regular season. I think that in these playoffs, teams have paid more attention to him. And I think as a result, he's moving the ball. He's not a selfish player. He's moving the ball, and other guys are benefiting from the attention that he's being shown. I think Jaylen Brown has stepped up. And, you know, I think he's just had a chip on his shoulder about him not making one of those NBA teams. And I think he's shown, especially in his playoff time, because to me, he's the MVP in the playoffs. He stepped it up a notch at the most important time. So he's made his case as well. But to me, I still lean a little bit more towards Jason Tatum. But both of those guys are terrific players. They both are closers. And so, you know, Boston has a fantastic scenario when you talk about those two guys. But to me, the X factor is Drew Holiday. I think Milwaukee made a tremendous mistake letting him go and him going to a Boston Celtics team. I think that kid, I mean, it's unbelievable what he can do on the defensive end. And then especially he can score as well. But what he can do on the defensive end, I mean, it's been very impressive how he's guarding Kyrie Irving and Luka, you know, and causing problems, you know, making them take tough shots on a consistent basis. So to me, Drew Holiday is the guy that's been stepping it up and really is the X factor for me.
All right, Walt, before we let you go, of course, I want to talk about what you've been doing since your playing career is over. I know you had an event today, but I got to ask you, I'm just curious, because I've never asked you this either since I've moved here to Boston, but you've obviously gone against the Celtics a ton of times in your career. Did you get up to come to Boston and play the Celtics? Did you have any really like breakout games here at the Garden or anything? Did you despise playing in the Garden against the Celtics? What was sort of your – I know your son – I remember your son went to Boston College for a minute, but what was like your – as a player, what was your Boston experience like, Walt?
So it wasn't a situation where I had this special, you know, animosity towards Boston. So, you know, I just wanted to play well all the time. Especially, you know, Len Bias being drafted by the Celtics, I always wanted to perform well in those games. But I tell you what, the thing that always stick out in my mind is the locker room. I mean, it was horrible for the guests. The opposing teams, they always had the worst locker room situations ever for the opposing team, man. It was just incredible. You know, you're going in, you'll have about 15 shower heads around there, but only one or two would work. You know, the heat would be, like, if it's summertime, they would have the heat turned up. If it was wintertime, they would have the air conditioner turned up. So it was just, they would make sure it was horrible conditions for you, man. So you always respected that part of it. But, yeah, that's the thing that stick out to my mind the most about Boston. Just those horrible conditions. Seemed like they put a lot of effort into that part.
I love it. Now, Walt Williams joining us here on the Travis Thomas Experience. Walt and I are tight friends, and he sent me a bottle of the best vodka I've ever had in my life called Clutch Vodka. I love the name. Walt was clutch. He could shoot the lights out, so I understand the name behind it. Tell my audience, though, about Clutch Vodka. How'd you start it? Why'd you start it? And how they can get some of it.
Yeah, man. So, you know, this is my new vodka brand, and we've been having some success early on, and so we want that to continue. We wanted to make good quality vodka, premium vodka, and not be able to charge you those premium prices. So, you know, it's gluten-free, no sugar, no carbs. We organically filter vodka, but also we partner with One Maryland Collection, the NIL program at University of Maryland. So a portion of our sales goes to that program to help support student athletes and, you know, help with the, you know, scholarship offers and things like that, you know. And so we wanted to be able to support the university. And then also we thought it'd be a unique situation to be able to have the community be a part of that support. So we thought it'd be a great idea to do that, and so it's been a great venture. We've been having a good time, and I'm just hoping we have some great success here, and I can do more good in the world.
No doubt. Well, you know, I appreciate you, man. You have literally, I don't know what the hell you saw in me, but I'm glad you saw it, because from day one,
you my guy, Travis, man. You my guy.
Day one, you have held me down, Walt. I really appreciate you, family.
No doubt, man. You my guy, man. You always been a good, genuine person, man. And I always like to keep those kind of guys around me, you know. And, you know, good people, genuine people. And so that's why I always kept in contact with you. That's why I'm always down with you, man. You always been good folks from day one. And I always took notice of that, man. So you good peoples, man. So it's always a pleasure.
My man, appreciate you, Walt. Walt Williams, former NBAer, joining us here on the Travis Thomas Experience. Now, when we come back, I'm going to switch gears here, and I'm going to talk a couple things, because it's important here in Boston that we hit all the Boston sports food groups. So when we come back, I'm going to talk Patriots, and then I'm going to end the show with the Red Sox whooping up on the Yankees. Yeah, you heard me. Just important that here at the Fenway Studio at Fenway Park, I let all these Yankee fans who I'm seeing know what time it is. But first, on the Travis Thomas Experience, we must get to What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
The Celtics were unable to clinch the Larry O'Brien and Banner 18 last night down in Dallas, falling to the Mavericks by a final score of 122-84. The 38-point margin of victory for Dallas is the third largest in finals history. They'll have another chance to claim Banner 18 on Monday night back at the Garden, and Jason Tatum has some high expectations for the fans there.
I think it's going to be as loud as it's ever been in my 7 years of being a Celtic.
Tip-off on Monday night is set for 8:30 p.m. The Red Sox fell to the Yankees last night by a final score of 8-1. Brian Bale's struggles continued. He went just 4 2/3, allowing 4 runs. Alex Verdugo was the star of the show in his return to Fenway, hitting a home run in the first pitch that he saw. They'll be back in action tonight when Cooper Criswell takes the mound opposite Carlos Rodon for the Yankees. You can hear coverage of that game on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, starting at 6:15 with Cooper Boardman on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming will have the play-by-play action. First pitch set for 7:15. Shaw's, perfecting the art afresh. The Revs will also be in action tonight, looking to secure their third straight victory down at Gillette when they take on the Vancouver Whitecaps. Kickoff is set for 7:30. The Stanley Cup will be in the building in Edmonton tonight, as the Panthers will look to complete the sweep of the Oilers and claim their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. Puck drop is set for 8 o'clock. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Travis Thomas Experience coming up after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to The Travis Thomas Show on WEEI and on the Odyssey app.
It's just a public service announcement sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
It is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, H to the O-V. Woo! I used to move snowflakes by
Travis
the
Thomas Experience. I just got chills listening to that. How about Jay-Z being at Tom Brady's retirement Hall of Fame ceremony with the Patriots? Fantastic work there. I mean, listen, that entire Tom Brady ceremony was fantastic work by the Patriots, as always. We knew it was going to be great. It was great. I remember when they announced that during the football season that they were going to be doing that come summertime. Here we are, time flies. But I knew once they announced it, it was going to be top notch. And it sure was, all of it. I mean, from the weather being perfect, I said this to start the show here on the Travis Thomas Experience. Welcome if you're just joining us. We've talked everything. I mean, honestly, we've talked Celtics. We're talking Patriots now. In fact, I'm about to get to you, John, on line one. I see you that wants to talk Celtics with me. We will do that. I am taking calls all show long, getting Celtics predictions. Is it over in five on Monday night, or are we going to deep waters? But I thought that, going back to Brady, I thought that the weather was great. Jay-Z doing that song live, you know, what Tom would run out to all the time, was great. Tom's speech was great. The red carpet where you had all these athletes there and celebrities there was fantastic. I just thought everything was magical. The only complaint I had was to no fault of the Patriots was that we had a Celtics playoff game, a Celtics finals game the same night, which really screwed me in a way because I was supposed to go to the Brady ceremony, and instead my co-star, George Bellecci at Nesson, went and covered it, and I stayed in studio because we had the Celtics game. If it wasn't for that, I would have been there in the house for the Brady ceremony. So that bummed me out a little bit personally, but I said this to start the show today. One of the reasons I'm in love with Boston and I never want to leave, I've been here 2 years now, and I'm in love with the city, I'm never leaving, is because, you know, think about this. Gillette sold out for the Brady thing. TD Garden, same night, had a watch party for the Celtics. Neither Gillette or TD Garden had an actual game being played in it, and there was not an empty seat in either house. I thought it was fantastic. Plus, oh, by the way, you have Yankees in town here at Fenway, which has been an absolute, you know, party as well. So Boston's just fantastic, man. I love being here, and I feel so fortunate to be here. Real quick on the Celtics, my guy John Phenomenon on IG just sent me a message agreeing with me that we both should have checked out of that Celtics game last night much earlier than we did. I hung on. Thanks for the love always, John. I hung on. I don't know if you stayed for different reasons than me. Maybe you just stayed. I'm assuming, John, because I see you on Instagram. You're a loyalist to Boston sports, so I'm assuming you stayed on because of your Celtic fandom, because you were going down with the ship, which I can respect. My Dumas stayed watching that game because I thought they were going to have this epic, all-time, historic, great comeback. And I couldn't be more wrong. I mean, instead, it was historic, all right, in the other way. It was historic in the sense that they got their arse kicked, and that was not great. Let's go to John on line one in Springfield, home of the Hall of Fame, who wants to talk to me about the Celtics for the rest of the series. John, do you think it's over Monday night game five, or are we going into deep waters here?
I think five. Usually after the Celtics or any Boston team loses a game, they should win. They come back the following game and, you know, usually win. The opposite follows. Anytime they have a big blowout, like the first game predicted that they would wouldn't cover the spread. I expected it to be 8 or 9 points, and I expected the score to be 106-99. Most of the New England and Boston teams tend to become overconfident if they have a blowout win over a team and expect, you know, that the other team's going to know how great they are and just, you know, roll over. So I expect this one to be about 106-99. Celtics. I did not expect 38 points, though, the last game. That was bad.
No doubt. Hey, from your lips to the basketball god's ears, thanks, John, for the call. Look, you know, I said that to start the show today that I just felt like, you know, I think the Celtics bought into their own hype. And I can't even really be mad at that. I want to, but I can't. It's human nature. If all you hear is how great you are and you've been beating down the Mavericks. I mean, these games, game one wasn't even close. Game three wasn't even close. Once Luka fouled out, they ran away with that game. Now, we could sit here and talk about Luka shouldn't have fouled out, and there are a couple questionable calls, or if Luka doesn't foul out in game three, is it closer? Maybe. But once Luka went out with like 3 minutes left, Celtics pulled away in that. Game two was decent, but for the most part, they've won these first three games of the series. Let's call it in convincing fashion. And, you know, you're at a closeout game. You're thinking, we're going to mop these guys again and get out of here champions. And the Mavericks naturally weren't having it. I mean, it was do or die for them. I respect that. All the chips on the table, all the pressure is on the Celtics, and they came out gangbusters. And you know what? They deserve credit for that. But that's why I'm not panicked. Now, you lose game five at home. Okay, I'm hitting the panic button. I'll be the first to admit it. But I just don't see it. I think the Celtics team bought into the hype. It didn't go their way. They came up short. Now, if anything, humble pie is the best thing you can eat. Regroup, go back to the drawing board, get back to playing the kind of basketball you were playing when you went up 3-0, and you should, in theory, be just fine at home and be able to close this out, and then I will see you all on Causeway Street, and we will be causing trouble. Just thought it was I don't know. I mean, Tom, I thought it was pretty good iteration there. Causeway, causing trouble. It just felt very natural to me, my friend. 617-779-7937. I'm talking Patriots here in this segment, but of course, we could talk Celtics anytime you want. I see my guy Alan in Maine wants to talk Celtics, so we'll do that with him, and then I'll get back to the Patriots here as I gave props to the Brady ceremony. I thought it was awesome. I thought typical Tom. You know, on a night where it's supposed to be all about him, we're giving him his flowers. He still made it about his teammates. He still made it about Bill Belichick. He still made it about the fans. I just thought that was so fitting for Tom Brady in a night when the spotlight's on you. And if he just got up there and talked about his journey only and kept the spotlight on him, we would have all been fine with it. He deserved it. That was the night to do it. And he still wouldn't do it. He still gave credit to everyone else. I think that's just so Tom Brady there. By the way, I'm seeing all these reports for the current Patriots team. I'm seeing all these reports that Drake May has been lighting it up in OTAs and looks great. And everyone's, you know, obviously we know he needs to develop, but everyone's been so encouraged and giving these glowing reviews on all the work that Drake May has put in already, learning the offense, getting his footwork together. For the first time, in his playing career, taking the ball from under center. You know, he's been playing that spread offense and shotgun up until this point. So everyone's giving glowing reviews saying he's been doing a tremendous job at all the above. And I can't wait to see the hard work pay off. And, you know, my prediction for this team this season is, in a lot of ways, I think they're going to be very similar to last season, where the offense will sputter at times. But the difference last season was the offense sputtered, period. And there was no other gear to it. It just sputtered and it was a mess. I think this season it could sputter at times, both with Jacoby Brissett and Drake May when we see him. But I think because of Drake May's ceiling himself personally, I think you'll see more from the offense. It's hard to see less from an offense that was ranked dead last year in the NFL. But I think next season, because of Drake May's potential, we will see flashes of greatness in that kid. We will see flashes where you say, okay, this is why they took him third overall. I get it. So although they won four games last season with a putrid, anemic, disgusting offense, I believe the floor this season is 5 wins. So you'll improve by 1 game. That's the floor. That's as bad as it could be. But for the ceiling, I'll go ahead and give them 8 wins. At best case scenario, I think the Patriots win 8 wins. And by the way, that's with Drake May being the truth. That's if the kid comes in, looks good, plays the part, and we're like, okay, we got some. I don't think he's going to be rookie of the year or anything, but I think if we can see some positivity from Drake May, we could see some, okay, this is what the future will look like with this kid. I believe at best the Patriots could win 8 games this season. And you know what? Quite frankly, if this team can get you 8 wins, I'll take it. 8 wins in year one of Drake May, are you kidding me? I don't think that's a bad thing at all. You go 8-9, you're essentially a 500 team in year one of the kid. Fantastic. And then you build around him. You go get him some weapons at wide receiver because you don't have any now. You solidify that offensive line, which could be sketch or sus at best. I think you're cooking with peanut oil if the kid can get you to 8 wins. All right, let's go to Bob, who wants to talk Celtics with me on line one. Bob, do you think it's over Monday night in game 5, or are we all nervous as hell here?
Well, I'm a little nervous, but I called about Tatum and Brown, and I wanted to say that I'm really glad that you're happy to be in Boston. I'm happy that you're in Boston. I think I mean that. I haven't heard enough of you, but I'm terribly impressed with – it's nice to hear somebody have kind words about Jason Tatum. I don't know if you agree with me on this, but there's almost – a concerted effort with the print media, but mostly talk show hosts at the other radio station, mostly to equate Brown with Tatum enough so that people are calling in saying that, well, if they got to trade somebody, they've got to keep Brown and trade Tatum, or Tatum is Pippen to Brown's Michael Jordan.
Right.
I don't understand it. Here's what I feel about that. I like Brown. I think he's a good player. I think he's a terribly overrated player, but he's had a really good couple of series, and I don't take that away from him. But I think his ego is such that I don't think he will ever be a 1A or a 2 to Tatum in his own mind. I really don't. And I think that I worry that Tatum is going to feel that he's not. I really think there are some people that almost would prefer that Tatum leave, Brown becomes number one on this team. And I don't say this disparagingly. It's the last comment I'll make, but I'd like to know what you think. I don't mean it in a bad way, but I think if Brown were to be a number one on another team, a poor team, I think if Brown is your best player, you're never going to make the finals. He's not a number one, and I don't think he should be compared to Tatum. That's what I think.
Now, well, it's an interesting call.
Tell me what you think.
Yeah, for sure, Bob. I appreciate it. It's an interesting call. I mean, listen, you know, let's start with, I don't think this season it's going to matter. I think this team's about to get a banner. And once these guys get a ring, who gives a rat's ass who's better or not, right? So I think that will quell some of that discussion for a while. Now, obviously, if they blow this in a game seven and the Mavericks are the world champs, well, we're having a different conversation because someone's got to be held accountable for that, right? But so right now, I don't think it matters. But over time, here's my theory. It's going to play out one way or the other. Now Brown got paid already. We assume Tatum is going to by the Celtics, but until that signature is on the dotted line and the ink dries, it hasn't happened yet in terms of the big money, right, like Jaylen Brown got. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'll say this about both of them. Neither one of them pout, and I talked about this earlier in the show, neither one of them pout and complain and throw teammates or coaches under the bus. They help you win in other ways if they're not scoring the ball, whether it's defense or in Tatum's case, crashing the boards, getting assists. I respect that about both of them. They're both also classy individuals. They're not out here getting in trouble. They're not on the blogs. They're not on the police blotter. I respect that about them as well. They represent the organization and the city very well. I think that is invaluable in today's times. My kids look up to both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. As a dad, I feel comfortable with that because neither one of these guys has given me anything to feel like, maybe you should look up to Derek White, son, right? I feel comfortable that my kids look up to them until proven otherwise, right? But so far, so good. I feel good about that. So I think that is invaluable. But it will be interesting to see as the years play out how that dynamic changes, or is it kumbaya forever between them? None of us know the answers to that. Here's another thing I have my eye on, brother, is Joe Mazzulla. Look, we're already seeing it. Assistants getting head coaching jobs. I think Sam Cassell is next. He's overdue to be a head coach, if you ask me. With success, your assistant coaches leave and they go get other opportunities elsewhere. And so I am very interested to see how that plays out as Joe Mazzulla, who has the best GDAM coaching staff in the NBA surrounding him right now. As those guys get opportunities and jobs, will Joe Mazzulla elevate his game? Will he elevate his coaching game and be able to withstand that and to rise his level of coaching? We shall see. That's going to be interesting to me, too, because I don't believe Brad Stevens is going to play any games here. We cannot look back on this team years from now and say, well, they only got one ring. No, that window is open. Hell, they should have beat the Warriors. No shame in losing to Steph Curry. He took the series over. We understand he's an all-timer. But you can't afford that again. You get to these finals, you got to win rings, brother. And rings with an S, plural. This team's great enough, the window's open. So if, you know, they're losing Eastern Conference Finals or they get back to the finals and they lose, I think Mazzulla could be on the hot seat. I don't think Brad Stevens is going to play a lot of games with him. And that's even after one ring. So I want to see that play out over time as well. All right, my guy Matt in Rhode Island wants to talk Patriots with me. So when we come back, I'm going to him. He thinks I'm nuts. He says 8 or 9 wins for the Pats is way too high. So I want to hear his take on that. And I'll also go around the NFL for some other news and notes. And I'll give you my prediction before we get out of here for Red Sox-Yankees tonight. How about that? I'm at the Fenway Studios at Fenway Park. So if you're going to the game, come say hi to me. We'll take your calls and continue this party on the other side. Travis Thomas Experience, WEEI.
You're listening to the Travis Thomas Show on WEEI and on the Odyssey app.
So, I typed a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I'd CC round town. And
Travis Thomas Experience wrapping up this fine radio program as we speak here. Talking Celtics, talking Patriots. Before we go, I'm going to give you my prediction for for tonight's Red Sox-Yankees game. I'm here at the Fenway Studio in Fenway Park for the first time since being here at WEEI, and it is magical. It's been great. I've been teasing all show that I'm here and saying if you're at the game, you know, come up and say hello. And there's been a lot of people. Now, there's some glass separating me and people, but there's been a lot of thumbs up and waving and all of that. So that's been fantastic. I am going to stay a little bit here after I get off air, but I work tomorrow at Nesson. I work a crazy shift tomorrow. And I didn't even know it was Father's Day tomorrow. This is the sad state of affairs that my life is. My wife goes, so what do you want tomorrow for your special day? She didn't call it Father's Day. She said, what do you want for your special day? And I said, do what now? She said, what do you want for your special day? I said, my birthday's in October, ma'am. I don't know what. She said, it's Father's Day, idiot face. I said, oh, I didn't even know. So I didn't even know. How's that? I mean, father of two kids, family man centric here, and I still had no idea. And I'm like, listen, I got to work a lot of hours. So apparently I'm getting some sort of special dinner or something tonight. So I can't stay here for the Red Sox Yankees and pound beers to the face like I want to. I need to get home and get whatever Father's Day, you know, dinner plans reveal itself. So there you go. There's how there's my exhilarating life. I know that excites everyone listening to hear that. So there you go. All right, let me go to my man Matt in Rhode Island, wants to talk Pats with me. Now, Matt, before you call me nuts, I was saying that, you know, my prediction is, so last year this team won four games and the offense was atrocious. My gut is that even at worst, the rookie QB, who I like Drake May, I liked him in college, I think he'll improve you by one game at worst. I said at best, if he shows me some flashes, you know, the offense can't get any worse than dead last. So at best, I think he could maybe get you to eight wins. You think I'm nuts. So where are you landing in terms of your Patriots predictions this season?
Yeah, no, I just don't really see him cracking the starting lineup, at least in the first half of the year. You know, I like the kid, too. He's got a lot of raw talent. You said you liked him in college. But that college game that he was playing at UNC, I don't think he's going to translate to the NFL. So he's got some fundamental stuff that he's working on, and I believe he's going to be very solid. I also like the two wide receivers that they got in the draft. But it's just not a this-year thing for me. You know, also putting him in there, you know, even if I think the offensive line is going to be bad, but let's just say they're going to be average. You still don't really have a left tackle, so there's still a lot of pieces. I mean, you're right. The offense is not good. But I don't know if him getting in there realistically, you know, like I said, I think he'll see some playing time later on in the year because I think it's going to be that bad of a year. But, yeah, I like your show, and you know, I guess we'll see. But have a nice night at Fenway.
Appreciate it, brother. Yeah, I mean, listen, they can't get any worse. Offensively, literally, they can't get any worse. So, look, you could be right that there's not a big improvement in terms of wins, and I'm okay with that. If you tell me, you know, you look in like a crystal ball or something, and you say the Patriots are going to win four games again this year, but Travis, the offense actually looks like a functional NFL offense ran by grownups, then I say, you know what? I'll take it. Like, yeah, okay, I don't want to sit through another four-win season. I get it. But I just want to see some improvements offensively, especially with the young kid in there. So you mentioned how you like the two wide receivers and Baker and Polk that they took in the draft. But I saw some discouraging news today around the NFL that I didn't love. T. Higgins has officially now signed the franchise tag. So he said he wasn't going to do that. And I was holding out hope for two players, actually, T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk, who's having some contract disputes right now with the 49ers. I was hoping for either one of them. And the Patriots have so much cap space. You could overpay either one of these guys, and I'm happy with it. And yes, I said overpay because I don't Listen, I don't know for sure if T. Higgins can be a number one wide receiver. We know Ja'Marr Chase is all world. We know Tyler Boyd is there as far as weapons. We know they have a great running game. We know Joe Burrow is awesome. Same with Brandon Ayuk. You know, they have Deebo Samuel. They have Kittle. They have Christian McCaffrey, who can do everything. He's a Swiss Army knife. You know, I don't know if Brandon Ayuk can be a number one wide receiver. But here's what I know. The Patriots don't have one, okay? And so I am willing right now, today, to roll the dice and to pay number one wide receiver money, big bag of cash, years, all of it, fully guaranteed, all the things that all these receivers are getting right now. I'm willing to do it for either T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk. Now, Higgins signing this franchise tag means that, you know, he's not going to be in play now, because I was hoping and holding out hope that the Patriots maybe would get involved with a trade, you know, get Higgins here, give the Bengals something. You know, I don't think you'd have to pay a ton, but, you know, give them some draft capital and then give Higgins an extension. I was holding out hope for that. With this news today that he is indeed signing the franchise tag and reporting to training camp, in which he was, you know, threatening to not, you know, maybe he hits the free agent market next season, next offseason, and you go get him, if you know, if that's the case. But as of now, you can take T. Higgins off of your buddy list. Brandon Ayuk is still in play. Now, the rumors are the Niners are offering him $26 million a year, which, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's fair. I know Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to hear that, but it I do believe that it is fair, 26 mil per. But what's happening is, you know, obviously he's seeing all these players get paid, and he's like, bro, like I you know, 26 is not gonna get it done. Now, obviously, we saw you know, we saw Justin Jefferson just break records, break the bank, literally, and break records. He's getting $35 million per. That ain't happening, okay, for Brandon Ayuk. Jefferson's deal was $140 million in total value, $110 guaranteed. I mean, that's insane numbers right there, right? A.J. Brown gets $32 million a year. That ain't going to happen. Ross St. Brown, $30 million a year. Tyreek Hill, $30 million a year. So Brandon Ayuk's not getting in that zip code, okay? Let's go ahead and just say that now. Those are your top dogs in the league. That next tier down is where I think Brandon Ayuk fits and is where I think he's trying to get paid. Jalen Waddle makes $28 million per. I'll be honest. I think Brandon Ayuk is better than Jalen Waddle. So that's where you see the disconnect. If the Niners are offering 26, again, I think that's fair, but I could see where Brandon Ayuk says, my arse, that's fair. I want 28. If I'm the Niners, I'll come up. I would come up to 28. If I'm the Patriots and these talks break down with Ayuk, I would trade for him. I don't want to give up a first rounder, but I would trade for him within reason. And then I would pay him $28 million per. I'm not going to 30. Now, I might give him a big signing bonus. I might give him some cash. Here you go. I might guarantee a ton of that $28 million, whatever that contract looks like. If it's, you know, Waddle's was $84 million, whatever it looks like. I might guarantee a good portion of that to make him happy. But I'm not paying you Tyreek Hill money. You ain't Tyreek Hill. But I can pay you Jalen Waddle money. I would feel comfortable with that if I'm the Patriots. And we'll see what happens. But I think we can all agree you got to get some weaponry here for Drake May. And I would rather it sooner than later. That's why I'd be willing to trade and then work out a contract with the player once I got him. That's what I would be willing to do. Also, I saw this. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, just got absolutely. He just got paid, man. And my thing is this. You know, $275 million for Trevor Lawrence. 5 years, 275. That's a lot of cabbage, brother. Now, I am a Trevor Lawrence fan to a certain extent. I would not have done this right now if I'm the Jaguars. What I would have done, I would have had Trevor Lawrence play on the last year of his deal. And it would have been a prove it deal. And I say that for a few reasons. Number one, he has not proven to me yet that he can stay healthy. So I would kind of be telling him, we want to see you fully healthy for a season without being all nicked up. I mean, he plays hurt and then he's not as effective. Bro, we got to see you stay healthy. And there's not a ton of excuses there. He has weapons on the outside. He has a decent offensive line. Travis Etienne's a tremendous running back. I don't really know what the disconnect is there in Jacksonville. How about this? Doug Peterson, who's a quarterback whisperer. I mean, we don't even need to talk about Nick Foles and Doug Peterson around here. If you can't make it work with Doug Peterson as your coach, something's off there. And when I watch Trevor Lawrence, some of me thinks he's not regressing, but I also don't feel like he's getting any better. Some of me feels like he may be at his ceiling. We have to remember, he was tremendous at Clemson. Early in his career, when he first got in the NFL, he showed a lot of flashes of greatness. But since, it's kind of been stagnant. Now, the good thing is, the stagnant level that he's at is still at a high level. It is. He's a very good, serviceable, high-end starting quarterback in this league. Where I'm having a problem is I don't see great. And I don't know if I'm going to see great with Trevor Lawrence. That's my issue. And when you talk about 5 years, 275 M's, that's a greatness kind of contract. And I haven't seen that from him. So that brings me some trepidation with Trevor Lawrence. I get why the Jaguars did it. I know it's the market. It's a going rate for quarterbacks. I understand all that stuff. I really do. But, I'm a little worried about it. All right, let's go to Steve in Fall River. He'll be our last call for the day. Wants to talk Pats with me. What's up, Steve?
You know what this guy's record is? He's 20-30, Trevor Lawrence. There was no reason to sign him. No one was going to pay him more. You know who had the best winning percentage in that draft? Mac Jones. If I'm Mac Jones, I'm preparing a lawsuit against Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Hello. Okay?
The cost of this guy, $200 million. They cost him $200 million. Yeah. He's 18-24.
Yeah.
He's got by far the best winning percentage. And he had, as you know, not Doug Peterson. He had, guess who he had? The opposite of Doug Peterson. Okay.
Yeah, we know. It's been well documented.
It's not well documented. No one says he has the best winning percentage in that draft. Okay? Here's something else you don't know. He's going to make $3 million this year. They got rid of him to bring in a guy for $8 million, a likable loser.
Yeah. I said all this about Trevor Lawrence, but I tell you what, Steve, I'd much rather have Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones. What do you think the Patriots will finish?
You would?
Really? I would. Yeah.
Really?
What do you?
You just said he's got better weapons and better coaches, but they lost 5 of 6 games last year to get out of playoff contention. You like him?
Yeah. Listen. All right, Steve. Appreciate the call. Listen, I just butchered Trevor Lawrence for 20 minutes. But if you're trying to sell me that Mac Jones is better, I ain't buying it. You can just keep that used car of yours with all the miles on it.
If you asked maybe 1,000 NFL fans who they would rather have, Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence, it would be 1,000-0.
I mean, listen, I just literally crapped all over Trevor Lawrence, and then Steve's trying to sell me Mac Jones is better. I ain't buying it. Now, Steve, you could be right. If Mac ends up cracking that lineup, maybe he'll have more success than Trevor Lawrence. At that time, call me back, and I'll give you all the props in the world. But until that happens, I'll roll with Trevor Lawrence. Thank you very much. As far as tonight, Red Sox and Yankees, listen, I need some offense. I mean, last night, I understand the Yankees pitching was phenomenal, but, like, can we get some runs here at Fenway tonight? That's what I need to see. So I'll go Red Sox win tonight. The bats make an appearance. I think we get some raking here at Fenway. So I'll go the Sox win. The offense shows up. I want to thank Ante Campbell. I want to thank Walt Williams. How about my guy Zach back at studio? How about my guy Tom with me here at Fenway? And thank all of you for rolling with the Travis Thomas Experience. Enjoy the game. I'll see you next time. Peace.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Travis Thomas Show on WEEI and on the Odyssey app.
So, I typed a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I'd CC round town. And
Travis Thomas Experience wrapping up this fine radio program as we speak here. Talking Celtics, talking Patriots. Before we go, I'm going to give you my prediction for tonight's Red Sox-Yankees game. I'm here at the Fenway Studio in Fenway Park for the first time since being here at WEEI, and it is magical. It's been great. I've been teasing all show that I'm here and saying if you're at the game, you know, come up and say hello, and there's been a lot of people. Now, there's some glass separating me and people, but there's been a lot of thumbs up and waving and all of that, so that's been fantastic. I am going to stay a little bit here after I get off air. But I work tomorrow at Nesson. I work a crazy shift tomorrow. And I didn't even know it was Father's Day tomorrow. This is the sad state of affairs that my life is. My wife goes, so what do you want tomorrow for your special day? She didn't call it Father's Day. She said, what do you want for your special day? And I said, do what now? She said, what do you want for your special day? I said, my birthday's in October, ma'am. I don't know what... She said, it's Father's Day, idiot face. I said, oh, I didn't even know. So I didn't even know. How's that? I mean, father of two kids, family man centric here, and I still had no idea. And I'm like, listen, I got to work a lot of hours. So apparently I'm getting some sort of special dinner or something tonight. So I can't stay here for the Red Sox-Yankees and pound beers to the face like I want to. I need to get home and get whatever Father's Day, you know, dinner plans reveal itself. So there you go. There's how there's my exhilarating life. I know that excites everyone listening to hear that. So there you go. All right, let me go to my man Matt in Rhode Island, wants to talk Pats with me. Now, Matt, before you call me nuts, I was saying that, you know, my prediction is, so last year, this team won four games, and the offense was atrocious. My gut is that even at worst, the rookie QB, who I like Drake May. I liked him in college. I think he'll improve you by one game at worst. I said at best, if he shows me some flashes, you know, it can't, the offense can't get any worse than dead last. So at best, I think he could maybe get you to eight wins. You think I'm nuts. So where are you landing in terms of your Patriots predictions this season?
Yeah, no, I just don't really see him cracking the starting lineup, at least in the first half of the year. I like the kid too. He's got a lot of raw talent. You said you liked him in college, but that college game that he was playing at UNC, I don't think he's going to translate to the NFL. So he's got some fundamental stuff that he's working on, and I believe he's going to be very solid. I also like the two wide receivers that they got in the draft, but it's just not a this year thing for me. Also putting him in there, even if I think the offensive line is going to be bad, but let's just say they're going to be average. You still don't really have a left tackle, so there's still a lot of pieces. I mean, you're right. The offense is not good. But I don't know if him getting in there realistically, like I said, I think he'll see some playing time later on in the year because I think it's going to be that bad of a year. But, I like your show, and I guess we'll see. But have a nice night at Fenway.
Appreciate it, brother. Yeah, I mean, listen, they can't get any worse. Offensively, literally, they can't get any worse. So, look, you could be right that there's not a big improvement in terms of wins, and I'm okay with that. If you tell me, you look in like a crystal ball or something, and you say the Patriots are going to win four games again this year, but Travis, the offense actually looks like a functional NFL offense ran by grownups, then I say, you know what? I'll take it. Like, yeah, okay, I don't want to sit through another four-win season. I get it. But I just want to see some improvements offensively, especially with the young kid in there. So you mentioned how you like the two wide receivers and Baker and Polk that they took in the draft. But I saw some discouraging news today around the NFL that I didn't love. T. Higgins has officially now signed the franchise tag. So he said he wasn't going to do that. And I was holding out hope for two players, actually, T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk, who's having some contract disputes right now with the 49ers. I was hoping for either one of them. And the Patriots have so much cap space. You could overpay either one of these guys, and I'm happy with it. And yes, I said overpay because I don't know for sure if T. Higgins can be a number one wide receiver. We know Ja'Marr Chase is all world. We know Tyler Boyd is there as far as weapons. We know they have a great running game. We know Joe Burrow is awesome. Same with Brandon Ayuk. They have Deebo Samuel. They have Kittle. They have Christian McCaffrey, who can do everything. He's a Swiss Army knife. I don't know if Brandon Ayuk can be a number one wide receiver. But here's what I know. The Patriots don't have one, okay? And so I am willing right now, today, to roll the dice and to pay number one wide receiver money, big, big bag of cash, years, all of it, fully guaranteed, all the things that all these receivers are getting right now. I'm willing to do it for either T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk. Now, Higgins signing this franchise tag means that, he's not going to be in play now, because I was hoping and holding out hope that the Patriots maybe would get involved with a trade, get Higgins here, give the Bengals something. I don't think you'd have to pay a ton, but, give them some draft capital and then give Higgins an extension. I was holding out hope for that. With this news today that he is indeed signing the franchise tag and reporting to training camp, in which he was, threatening to not, maybe he hits the free agent market next season, next offseason, and you go get him, if that's the case. But as of now, you can take T. Higgins off of your buddy list. Brandon Ayuk is still in play. Now, the rumors are the Niners are offering him $26 million a year, which, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's fair. I know Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to hear that, but I do believe that it is fair, $26 million per. But what's happening is, obviously he's seeing all these players get paid, and he's like, bro, like I 26 is not gonna get it done. Now, obviously, we saw Justin Jefferson just break records, break the bank, literally, and break records. He's getting $35 million per. That ain't happening, okay, for Brandon Ayuk. Jefferson's deal was $140 million in total value, $110 guaranteed. I mean, that's insane numbers right there, right? A.J. Brown gets $32 million a year. That ain't going to happen. Ross St. Brown, $30 million a year. Tyreek Hill, $30 million a year. So Brandon Ayuk's not getting in that zip code, okay? Let's go ahead and just say that now. Those are your top dogs in the league. That next tier down is where I think Brandon Ayuk fits and is where I think he's trying to get paid. Jalen Waddle makes $28 million per. I'll be honest. I think Brandon Ayuk is better than Jalen Waddle. So that's where you see the disconnect. If the Niners are offering 26, again, I think that's fair, but I could see where Brandon Ayuk says, my arse, that's fair. I want 28. If I'm the Niners, I'll come up. I would come up to 28. If I'm the Patriots and these talks break down with Ayuk, I would trade for him. I don't want to give up a first rounder, but I would trade for him within reason, and then I would pay him $28 million per. I'm not going to 30. Now, I might give him a big signing bonus. I might give him some cash. Here you go. I might guarantee a ton of that $28 million, whatever that contract looks like. If it's, you know, Waddle's was $84 million, whatever it looks like, I might guarantee a good portion of that to make him happy. But I'm not paying you Tyreek Hill money. You ain't Tyreek Hill. But I can pay you Jalen Waddle money. I would feel comfortable with that if I'm the Patriots. And we'll see what happens. But I think we can all agree you got to get some weaponry here for Drake May. And I would rather it sooner than later. That's why I'd be willing to trade and then work out a contract with the player once I got him. That's what I would be willing to do. Also, I saw this. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, just got absolutely. He just got paid, man. And my thing is this. You know, $275 million for Trevor Lawrence, 5 years, $275. That's a lot of cabbage, brother. Now, I am a Trevor Lawrence fan to a certain extent. I would not have done this right now if I'm the Jaguars. What I would have done, I would have had Trevor Lawrence play on the last year of his deal. And it would have been a prove it deal. And I say that for a few reasons. Number one, he has not proven to me yet that he can stay healthy. So I would kind of be telling him, we want to see you fully healthy for a season without being all nicked up. I mean, he plays hurt and then he's not as effective. Bro, we got to see you stay healthy. And there's not a ton of excuses there. He has weapons on the outside. He has a decent offensive line. Travis Etienne's a tremendous running back. I don't really know what the disconnect is there in Jacksonville. How about this? Doug Peterson, who's a quarterback whisperer. I mean, we don't even need to talk about Nick Foles and Doug Peterson around here. If you can't make it work with Doug Peterson as your coach, something's off there. And when I watch Trevor Lawrence, some of me thinks he's not regressing, but I also don't feel like he's getting any better. Some of me feels like he may be at his ceiling. We have to remember, he was tremendous at Clemson. Early in his career, when he first got in the NFL, he showed a lot of flashes of greatness. But since, it's kind of been stagnant. Now, the good thing is, the stagnant level that he's at is still at a high level. It is. He's a very good, serviceable, high-end starting quarterback in this league. Where I'm having a problem is I don't see great. And I don't know if I'm going to see great with Trevor Lawrence. That's my issue. And when you talk about 5 years, 275 M's, that's a greatness kind of contract. And I haven't seen that from him. So that brings me some trepidation with Trevor Lawrence. I get why the Jaguars did it. I know it's the market. It's a going rate for quarterbacks. I understand all that stuff. I really do. But, you know, I'm a little worried about it. All right, let's go to Steve in Fall River. He'll be our last call for the day. Wants to talk Pats with me. What's up, Steve?
You know what this guy's record is? He's 20-30, Trevor Lawrence. There was no reason to sign him. No one was going to pay him more. You know who had the best winning percentage in that draft? Mac Jones. If I'm Mac Jones, I'm preparing a lawsuit with Bill, against Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Hello.
The cost of this guy, $200 million. They cost him $200 million. Yeah. He's 18-24.
Yeah.
He's got the by far the best winning percentage. And he had, as you know, not Doug Peterson. He had, you know, guess who he had? The opposite of Doug Peterson. Okay.
Yeah, we know. It's been well. Documented.
Well. No, it's not well documented. No one says he has the best winning percentage in that draft. Okay. Here's something else you don't know. He's going to make $3 million this year. They got rid of him to bring in a guy for $8 million. A likable loser.
Yeah. Listen, I said all this about Trevor Lawrence, but I tell you what, Steve, I'd much rather have Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones. What do you think the Patriots will finish?
You would?
I would. Yeah.
Really?
What do you?
You just said he's got better weapons and better coaches, but you know they lost 5 of 6 games last year to get out of playoff contention. You like him?
Yeah. Listen. All right, Steve. Appreciate the call. Listen, I just butchered Trevor Lawrence for 20 minutes. But if you're trying to sell me that Mac Jones is better, I ain't buying it. You can just keep that used car of yours with all the miles on it.
If you asked maybe 1,000 NFL fans who they would rather have, Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence, it would be 1,000-0.
I mean, listen, I just literally crapped all over Trevor Lawrence, and then Steve's trying to sell me Mac Jones is better. I ain't buying it. Now, Steve, you could be right. If Mac ends up cracking that lineup, maybe he'll have more success than Trevor Lawrence. At that time, call me back, and I'll give you all the props in the world. But until that happens, I'll roll with Trevor Lawrence. Thank you very much. As far as tonight, Red Sox and Yankees, listen, you know, I need some offense. I mean, last night, I understand the Yankees pitching was phenomenal, but, like, can we get some runs here at Fenway tonight? That's what I need to see. So I'll go Red Sox win tonight. The bats make an appearance. I think we get some raking here at Fenway. So I'll go the Sox win. The offense shows up. I want to thank Ante Campbell. I want to thank Walt Williams. How about my guy Zach back at studio? How about my guy Tom with me here at Fenway? And thank all of you for rolling with the Travis Thomas Experience. Enjoy the game. I'll see you next time. Peace.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.